How many people believe that there is going to be a secret rapture? What I mean of a secret rapture is how many people believe that suddenly millions will disappear and without any notice. Suddenly you go to your bedroom and you will see your husband gone or your wife gone. Suddenly you know, how many people believe that? I know a lot of churches believe that. We are going to talk about the rapture of the church today. The rapture of the church. And majority of the evangelical Christians believe there is going to be a secret rapture. Secret rapture happens without a noise. Suddenly, millions of Christians will disappear. Hal Lindsey's Christian End Times book in the 1970s, The Late Great Planet of the Earth, was a bestseller. And that book, I believe, gave birth to a lot of movies. The Thief in the Night, Mage of the Beast, and so on. And a lot of movies, and also to a lot of other books. So that was a platform for a shower of other books and movies like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. They didn't waste time in writing books, and the movies like Left Behind series kind of storm through the evangelical churches, as we see even bumper stickers on cars and slogans like, in case of rapture, this vehicle will be unmanned. And also we've seen bumper stickers like, the rapture, the only way to fly. We hear many evangelists and majority of the pastors preaching on the raptures, and even you hear the stories in the sermons, and you hear illustrations and things like, you know, when a rapture happens, when there's an airplane, airplanes will crash, as if it's a Christian pilot, he will be taken up in the rapture. And where is the airplane? It's going to crash with the people. And Christian television programs and radio will be interrupted, as those Christian people in the radio will be taken up in the rapture. You hear the stories of a husband and wife, they are eating dinner together, and suddenly husband is horrified as right in the middle of their meal, right in front of him, the wife disappears in the rapture. Hear the stories of a woman with a baby, and instantly the baby is vanished from the crib. You hear the stories of a Christian doctor performing a surgery, a major surgery, and suddenly the doctor disappears from the operating room. You hear chaos in the road, ambulances, cars crashing, you know, planes crashing, and people disappearing. You know, and the headlines of the newspapers will say millions missing as a secret rapture had happened and the Christians are taken away and the unbelievers are left. The last days books and movies have influenced the majority of the Christian churches all over the world. Many of these churches have their doctrine centered on eschatology, end times, rather than on soteriology, salvational issues. Today, many of the evangelists and pastors, they give an invitation to the people saying, you don't have to go through the wrath of the Antichrist. You can escape the great tribulation, and you will go, if you come forward and repeat this prayer after me, you will go in the rapture. Of course, we see many people coming forward, and because of the fear for Antichrist and the tribulation, great tribulation, and so there's so much emotions, and so the church has been, majority of the evangelical church has been taken into a totally into a different arena here. And does the Bible talk about a rapture anyway? That's the question. And if it does, where does it say? I believe the Bible talks about a rapture. And I believe that. And where does it say? Very clearly. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting from verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, but those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now this is where I want to focus on, from verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be, so we will always with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, as the part as shows that there is a rapture, but if you read this and you can tell me, I don't see the word rapture there. I don't see the word rapture. So where does this word rapture comes from? In verse 17, it says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up. That's the word, caught up. The word caught up in Greek is harpazo. H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, harpazo. Which means to snatch instantly, to seize instantly. And that word harpazo, the Latin word, is called raptum. Means rapture. The same word. In Latin, is raptum, which is the rapture. That means you are seized instantly, suddenly. You are seized, are snatched instantly. You are raptured. That's how the doctrine of rapture comes. You understand now? So, the question is there a secret rapture, a noiseless secret rapture, where we have, most of you have seen in the movies and in the books there they have written, and the churches have been greatly influenced. The question is there going to be a secret, noiseless rapture? And also, the same people who believe on a secret rapture, they believe that Jesus is his second coming is divided into two. That means he will first appear in the sky, and the believers will be, you know, people who are dead in Christ will be taken up first, and the believers will be taken up. Then he will come back again in his second coming with the believers. So he's coming basically twice. One, he's going to appear, and then he's going to come back again. Now, my friend, there is only one second coming. There are no two second comings. There is no part A and part B. There's only one second coming. There are many people in the church who I believe they're deceived and have been deceived in trusting that whatever that comes from the pulpit. They don't examine the scriptures to say what the scriptures say. We need to be like the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11 talks about the Bereans. Bereans checked everything to examine to see what Paul was saying, the truth or not. And we need to be like the Bereans. And so, the evangelists and the pastors, even if they tell 90% of the truth, and 10% is wrong, there's something wrong there. And even the cults, they do that. The cults, they tell some truth. They tell some truth in it. That's why people get deceived, because of the truth. But there's a poison of the false doctrine. Now let us expose what the scriptures say, the word of God says, against what the movies say and what the Bible, what those books says. And let us expose what the Bible says in the light of the scripture, what is right. Is it the scripture or tradition? Tradition, what people believe. Okay, so the scripture is the final authority. Now, let's start from verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And he says here, for the Lord himself shall descend. He is not appearing here. He is descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Very clear. The Lord does not appear in the sky as many Christians believe, but He will descend from heaven with a shout. This is the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is His second coming. He has been silent for all these years and years. He has been silent. But when He returns, it will be long silence is going to be broken suddenly with a shout as He comes to this earth as a conqueror. The shout is not a secret whisper. It is not a noiseless rapture. The Lord's shout is a command. It is a summon from heaven. It is a shout. It says it's a shout. When the Lord shouts, it's a shout. It is like a command of an officer who shouts at his troops. He commands at his troops. And it is a loud shout. He shouts so that his shout is so loud, even the dead can hear. You understand? Remember Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. And they knew, and there's no way a man who is dead for 4 days will rise from the dead. But how did Jesus call Lazarus? Did Jesus go to the tomb of Lazarus and whisper, "Lazarus, come forward"? No, it was not a secret whisper. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." You cannot resist the command of the Master. The voice of the Son of God is a life-giving, powerful voice. It is so powerful, even the dead in Christ will hear that voice. As Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28. I'm going to read it. John 5, 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice." Now, Verse 16 says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call, with the trumpet of God. Now, not only the Lord's shout is going to happen here, but there is a voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. It's not a whistle that's going to, angel is not going to blow a whistle. He's going to blow a what? A trumpet. Where is the silent rapture here? Where is it? I don't see it. Many are deceived by not looking carefully at the scriptures. It is written so clearly. But how many have believed a movie, or movies, or books, or tradition, or whatever that comes from the pulpit, without checking what is written in the Bible? I don't see a secret rapture. I don't see a noiseless rapture. The Bible is the final authority. God is, angel is not going to blow a whistle, but he is going to blast a trumpet. And this trumpet is not an earthly trumpet, but it's a heavenly trumpet. Not only that, there is the voice of the archangel. Who is an archangel? The highest rank, the chief angel. I believe it's Michael, the archangel. He will blow the trumpet of God. The earthly trumpets are pretty noisy. It's the noisiest instrument, most loudest instrument. How much more the heavenly trumpet going to be? This heavenly trumpet will carry the sound so far, that means to the every corner of the earth will hear the sound, the trumpet call of God. And it is no secret rapture. And it is no secret sound. It will be so loud, so powerful, it can open the graves. That is, it can open the graves. That is so powerful. It can open the graves. So powerful that not only that it can open the graves, but the people who are dead, they have been dead, can be risen by the power of God. Not only that, even the people who are alive, Christians who are alive at that time, will be snatched up at the sound of the trumpet. The living believers can be changed in a moment, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You can see the power of God. We see two phrases in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And here, one, we see two phrases, but they are united. A shout, a command from Christ Jesus is there. Then we see the voice of an archangel with a trumpet of God. The former is from Christ, and the latter is from the angel, and the trumpet blast, the voice of the Lord, and the trumpet voice of the angel, and the trumpet blast, they all go together. It's mighty, it's powerful, it's loud. Goes to the every corner of the earth. Remember Jericho, the fall of Jericho. How did Jericho fall? How did the mighty city of Jericho fall? With a sword from the Israelites? No. It fell from what? From the trumpet blast. Remember? And the trumpet blast and the people's voices went together. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 6, verse 5. Joshua 6, 5. Joshua 6, 5 says, and it shall come to pass, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, And all the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Hear the voice, the sound of the trumpet, and the people shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city fell. When God is going, when He descends, when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven, when God descended to Mount Sinai to meet His people, the meeting was announced how? With a trumpet blast. The blast of the trumpets was so loud that the people were terrified. They trembled. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Exodus 19, 16 says, Exodus 19, 16. And it says here, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp, they trembled. My brothers and sisters, this trumpet call of the rapture is going to be so loud. That it's going to be so loud, it's going to be heard enough to the very corners of the earth. It will be heard loud and clear to all the corners of the earth and even to the beneath of the ocean. That means every skin, every tongue will hear the trumpet call. It's loud and clear because the silence is broken. The silence is broken with a trumpet call. A lot of people are saying, where is God? What's going on today? All these things are happening. What's happening with God? Yeah, there is a silence. A silence is going to be broken with a huge blasted trumpet call from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Many Christians who have buried long, long ago, it could be that there is no human remains left because they have been buried so long. It could be that not even a single particle of their bodies are left anymore. Or they have been absorbed by the Mother Earth. Yet, they will be raised to life. You can say, how is that going to be? Well, but the powerful heavenly trumpet is able to gather all the remains in a twinkling of an eye. Many God's people who have been martyred, who have been burned to death in a fire, who have been crucified, some of them have been given to wild animals to be eaten alive. And their the bodies, even the little particles of their bodies have been absorbed into vegetation. And the vegetation have been eaten by animals and people on this earth. And it is mingled. And how can these bodies be brought together? How can it be refashioned in its original form? How can it be? Well, God formed each atom. Atom is the smallest part of an element. Who formed the atom? God did. How did God form the atom? How? With nothing. And the same God can gather each atom again from confusion, in a sense, it's been absorbed in the earth. Even the animals have eaten the vegetation. But this God knows the history. Of each atom, He knows the history. And He knows their each current position. He can regather every atom in a twinkling of an eye, and this is the all-powerful God of the Bible. Say amen if you believe that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. This is the God of the Bible. We have a powerful God who can, He's a miracle working God, the same God who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He can bring those who people who have died so long ago, have turned into dust, and even the vegetation has been, they have been absorbed by the vegetation, animals have eaten those vegetations and people, and their traces are lost from human perspective. You cannot trace them anymore. But God, who created each atom out of nothing, He can bring them back together. Because God knows where each one of those atoms are. He can trace everything. He is the one who brought out of nothing into existence. So He can, same God, can bring what we see as nothing into existence in the same original manner. That's the God of the Bible. Amen. Verse 17. 1 Thessalonians, verse 17. And it says here, then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then the Christians who are alive, the word caught up again has to do with what? With the rapture here. It means the suddenness, the sweetness. A good scripture, there are a few scriptures I will give you. Acts chapter 8:39. It says here in Acts 8:39. Remember Philip. And when they came up out of the water, this is after Philip, after baptizing the eunuch. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Oh, some of your Bibles say, and when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That word, carried away and caught away, is the same word, harpazo. Same Greek word, harpazo, being snatched or being raptured. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12:2. Apostle Paul says, I knew a man in Christ. He's talking about himself here. About 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such one caught up to the third heaven. Is the same word, Greek word, used as harpazo, raptured. Okay? And Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Revelation 12:5 says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Same word, caught up, harpazo in Greek, raptured. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed, for the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Thessalonians, as we say, it's a conqueror's coming. It's a victory. It's a second coming. Okay? It's a, when the trumpet blows, you know that our Lord is there. in an instant you know that the dead in Christ, those who are alive at this time, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, it also talks about He will be coming in the clouds, right? Clouds can be meant literally, and also it can be meant symbolically. The symbolic meaning of when we hear the Lord is going to come in the clouds, symbolic meaning has to do with His majesty and power. When the Lord, even if you see a picture of a beautiful picture, the Lord is coming in the clouds, if you see it's only the Lord, there is no enhancement into that picture. But when you see the Lord is coming in the clouds of the air, it speaks of His majesty and His power. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Matthew 26, 64, Jesus said, 26:64. When the priest, high priest, asked him, "Are you the living God? Are you by the living God? Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I'll tell you from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God, at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Okay, so the clouds has to do with His majestic return. Also, the clouds has to do with judgment. The punishment for the enemies. When the Lord comes in the clouds of heaven, there will be no opportunity for conversion. He is coming not to convert, but to judge. For the true Christian, the coming is not a fear. As Paul said, comfort one another with these words. So for the true Christian, it's not a fear, but it's a comfort. It's a great encouragement to know that the Lord is going to come and take us away from this miserable, wicked earth. So it's a comfort for the true believer. The people who have put their trust in the living God, it's a true comfort. But the people who has not put their trust in the living God, the people who are living in sin, the people who are living carelessly, loosely, with disobedience, every day they go on sinning without any repentance, the trumpet call is going to be the greatest fear, as they will have to face the judge of the universe. To the Christian, the trumpet call is the sweetest sound to the ear, but to the unbeliever, the trumpet call is going to be the worst sound, and it is going to be the thunder from heaven, as God is going to summon, not to the court of the earth, but He is going to summon them to the judge of the universe. There is a day that all your, just imagine in our life today, we have very close connections with our friends and relatives, with one another in the church. We are emotionally involved because we love one another. We care for one another, for our relatives, for our loved ones, and so forth. And I was thinking one day, I'm going to die one day and I'm going to leave everybody here. I'm going to leave my wife one day. And maybe she's going to leave me one day. I'm going to leave my family, my children, and the people in the church. I'm going to leave them. And when I'm going to leave them, I'm going to be with the Lord. The same Lord that created me, one day I'm going to be with Him one day. And so here I see that our greatest love, my greatest love should be for my Creator who created me, because He's the one that I'm going to be with one day. And it's not my wife, of course, she's wife and children, they come after that. But it's the Lord who gave eternal life for us. He's the one who created, gave eternal life. He's the one who forgave our sins, pardoned our sins. He's the one who took the punishment for our sins. And He's the one who went on the cross on my behalf. And He's the one who satisfied the Father on the behalf, on justice on my behalf. He's the one who represented me to the Father. He did everything for me. And He is going to be our first love. And one day, that's a comfort to know the same Lord that created me, I'm going to be with Him one day. I had never seen my Creator. You had never seen your Creator one. But just imagine, the one who created you, you're going to be with Him one day. That's a comfort. The same one who gave you life, you're going to be with Him one day. The same one who forgave sin, you don't see Him now. You know, just imagine if somebody did something that is really impossible for you, that you were in danger, somebody came and rescued you, but you woke up in the hospital, but you never seen this man. And you know that this man rescued from death. Maybe you were going to be drowned and somebody came and, you know, rescued you from drowning. And then you woke up, you were in the hospital. And you were asking, who rescued me? You know, we don't know, he's gone. And you will love to see that person, don't you? It's more than that to see your Creator, the one who forgave your sins, the one who blot away all your sins, the one who carried you off all the way when you were on earth. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be our greatest comfort. And that's why Paul said, comfort one another with these words. What is our greatest comfort? If we live or die, we Christians are going to be with the Lord forever. John Lambert, in 1538, was born in 1538, was a Protestant martyr. John Lambert, who was burned to death on November 22nd at Smithfield, London, by the Roman Catholic Church. He was a friend of William Tyndale. When the Roman Church burnt him, he clapped his hands as he was burning. And he was crying out and saying, "None but Christ, none but Christ." He fell from the chains into the fire. Still, you can hear his voice saying in the midst of the fire, still, "None but Christ, none but Christ." Oh, what a comfort for the Christian to be with the Lord. It's none but Christ we are going to meet in the air. Forever, through eternity, none but Christ, none but Christ. It is only Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God Almighty.